Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Today on Prime Time, we look at ESG, or environmental, social, and governance investing. These are the three principles behind it, a practice that puts primacy on the sustainability and ethical impact of an investment in a company or a business. So how viable is it? And does it create constraints on investors looking to maximize shareholder returns? And how can one integrate ESG practices? There's a lot of questions around this particular movement in investing. And to help us parse through some of that, we're joined now by Mary Jane McQuillan. She's the Managing Director and Portfolio Manager and also the Head of Environmental, Social, and Governance Investment at Clearbridge Investments. Mary Jane, thanks so much for joining us this evening. The first question I have, of course, is how would you define sustainability in the practice of ESG?
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for inviting me here. Sure. So sustainability within ESG framework. First and foremost, the sustainability of the investment thesis. So it's not just about the sustainability side in terms of environment or social or governance. It's very much about the investment and the sustainability of that investment, which often includes societal impact.
Why are companies like Clearbridge taking an interest in ESG investing?
So Clearbridge has 50 years of active equity management, and 30 years of those 50 years have been in ESG investing. And so early on in the U.S., we saw that integrating the relevant factors around environment, social, and governance practices within our investments could make a difference in terms of our long-term view, could mitigate risk, and could help and find competitive advantage opportunities.
But here's the thing. One criticism that people who aren't familiar with ESG is that it could actually hamper or constrain your ability to maximize shareholder returns and shareholder value. What do you say to that particular criticism? Does the evidence of ESG actually support that, or is it otherwise?
We would take the complete opposite view, and
okay.
That is that we think ESG is a form or an approach to investing that can help maximize long-term shareholder return. And I also emphasize the word long-term as a term. And we think that this can happen because it's prudent investing. It's this idea of looking for those best opportunities, not restricting the universe, but identifying which are the best investment opportunities based on strong fundamentals, strength in the balance sheet, capital allocation, but also a very long sustainable approach.
Can you give us an idea then of how ESG investing has performed against markets over the last 10 or 15 years or so?
Well, we can look at our own internal performance of our strategies, which date for over 15 to 20 years of ESG performance track record. And as an active manager, our goal is to outperform the market and whichever benchmark that is for our strategy and style. But there has been empirical evidence and hundreds of studies by academic and professional practitioners that have followed ESG performance over different time periods for large cap, small cap, for U.S., for non-U.S., in mutual funds, in separate accounts, with restricting screens or with inclusionary screens, focusing on environmental or focusing on governance. So there's a lot of evidence that shows that over the long term, that ESG investments can perform as well, if not better, but another caveat is it goes back to the experience and the quality of the investment management team behind that.
Okay, so you have environment, you've got sustainability, you've got governance. Is there a possibility that these three pillars might contradict each other, or do they actually work in concert with each other? I mean, are there any instances where maybe a favoring environmental actually goes against sustainability or governance, or one of the three actually contradicts the other?
Well, the way we've examined ESG within our investments is by sector. So if we look at some sectors like industrials, environment carries a higher weight in terms of the analysis and the relevance. If we look at other sectors like consumer discretionary or financials, the social or the people aspect carry a very high weight. But across the board, the governance aspect of who's managing those businesses also carry a high weight. So I don't see that environment or social have to compete against each other. It's just that the exposure and the materiality can vary by sector.
We're still speaking to Mary Jane McQuillan. She's the head of environmental, social, and governance investment at Clearbridge Investments. One of the criticisms they have of ESG or shortcomings is that there seems to be a possible lack of a unified standard in evaluating or defining ESG across the board, be it across geographies, be it across certain markets. Is this a fair criticism, you think, or are there efforts to actually creating a common set of standards towards evaluating what exactly ESG is and how to evaluate the performance of ESG investments and what metrics to use for these?
Right. So so ClearBridge has always felt that ESG is something that should be standardized to the extent that it should be very clear and understood by the investor or the consultant what the ESG process is. So we work very hard to be very transparent, and we share a lot of information on the process. There are other firms or other products that might take a different approach where it's fairly vertical or narrow, being thematic, taking a theme like water and investments all about water, or taking a theme or an approach like impact and having a focus on making sure there's an impact with every investment. I would say that our approach, and increasingly more managers' approaches, are trying to incorporate the best of all. So that is ESG integration at the fundamental level as part of our investment process, looking for impacts where we can find them through public equities. And public equities are a tremendous lever to try to make impact on the planet. And then also looking at certain themes like renewable power, water, gender diversity. These are all important themes that can actually be identified within the company investments. And one other point I would make is that, similar to any other investment approach, that investors or consultants should do their due diligence, should dig as deeply as they can and look under the cover as far as what does the ESG mean for that particular product. At this time, there's a lot of product entering the marketplace, and there's a lot of ESG-labeled funds. So to be helpful to an investor or a consultant, they should try to make sure they understand the differences and the process within each, because they are not all managed the same, to your point. So that is a fair concern. But if you dig deeper in terms of the process, you will find which ones are suitable to your risk reward.
And finally, Mary Jane, before we let you guys go, if we happen to have a listener who is interested in getting more ESG into their investment practices, how would you advise them to go about it while we wait for some of these standards to actually standardize, for lack of a better term?
Sure. So there's two ways. One is, they can, if they want to invest in individual companies, increasingly companies are disclosing more about their environmental and social achievements and performance, and a lot of that information is available publicly. But if an investor does not want to look for stocks themselves and wants to go for professionally managed money, there are a number of funds where they have prospectuses, and the prospectuses will outline what the process is and what the achievement goals are.
All right. Some concrete steps there outlined. We'll have to leave it there. Mary Jane McQuillan is the managing director, portfolio manager, and also the head of ESG investment over at ClearBridge Investments. We thank you for your time and giving
thank
us a better idea of what these three big letters actually mean in the investment world. Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.